Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Document Management for Accountants to Go, a monthly podcast program with executive editor Darren Root and the country's foremost document management consultant, John Higgins. These thought leaders discuss all aspects of document management with a laser focus on the special needs of the practicing accountant.
Hi, this is Darren Root, executive editor of the CPA Technology Advisor for Intersection Live, and you're listening to episode 16 of Document Management for Accountants to Go. I'd like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP, for sponsoring our podcast today. I'm here with my regular host, John Higgins. John is a principal with CPA Crossings out in Metro Detroit. John's also a national expert on all things digital, more importantly and specifically document management for accountants. Good morning, John.
Morning, Darren. How are you today?
Good, thanks. How's the weather in Metro Detroit?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's been so cool here for the last week. It's like probably 60 degrees right now, and it's been in the 60s all week, so hopefully it'll warm up for the holiday.
Well, same thing for southern Indiana, so I'm looking forward to that as well. Today we're going to talk about integrating your DMS with your client portal, publishing documents to the portal, managing users and security, and benefits to you and your clients. The portals seem to be on everybody's minds today, John. What do you think?
Yeah, there's no question about it. It's a great opportunity as more firms have been successful at implementing a document management system, using the power of the portal to be able to disseminate the documents electronically to clients and third parties, for that matter, is just a great way to maximize the efficiency. And the hard part is pretty much done, in the sense that if they have all their documents into the document management system, then that makes it a whole lot easier to manage the content on the portal.
Can you just kind of lead us through how we should go about thinking about this integration with DMS and portals, and just kind of where we should go over the next 25 minutes here?
Sure, yeah. The best place to start, everybody's at a different spot in their firms as far as their use of technology, but in an optimal situation, I would recommend that you kind of integrate the evaluation of the document management system and your portal strategy simultaneously. I think they're really more or less joined at the hips, or should be joined at the hips. So when you're looking for different solutions, to me, the portal functionality that the DMS either offers directly, the DMS vendor, or that they integrate with, if it's a third-party solution they integrate with, to me, evaluating the functionality of that portal is pretty important. So that would be the best strategy. Now, if you already have a document management system, then for the same reasons, I would say go back to that vendor and start there to see what they have to offer. Otherwise, you're going to have to go down a path where maybe the portal solution is not directly integrated with the DMS, and that's not the end of the world. But there's going to be more work involved. And so in either case, what has to happen in the organization is you really need to take some time. You know, everybody wants a portal. If you recall, Darren, we did the webcast back in May on portals with the magazine.
Yep.
And I remember specifically the one question we asked. There was like 500 people on that, and 17% said they had a portal, and just about all the rest said they were actively in the process of putting one in. So definitely in the marketplace, practitioners are seeing the potential and the value. But the point I wanted to get to is that it's one of those things where I think a lot of firms look at it and say, oh, you know, we need to do a portal. I went to the conference and I heard Darren talk, and I heard John talking, or whoever, and they said we should really think about portals. So they go and, kind of just move down that path, and just they need to make sure that they take some time to understand it. Okay, so what are we exactly talking about here with this portal? And so to me, one of the first things to focus on is, what is your content strategy? What exactly do you want to put on the portal, and what do you want to use it for? Because you're going to have in your document management system all sorts of information for the client, just like go into the old paper file room. You're going to have your current year work papers. You have your prior year work papers. You have your perm files. And so there's a lot more information in your document management system than what you want to make available to the clients on the portal. And the good news with some of these document management systems is they make it very, very easy to get files published to the portal. That's the term that the most of them use, is publishing it. And in some cases, it's just quite simple, where you click a button, you click the document and say, okay, now that document is available on the client portal. So if you're not careful about that, then, you know, people could get a little lazy or a little careless, and next thing you know, you've got an internal source document that in no way would you want the client to have direct access to that, but somebody just inadvertently put a check on the wrong line, and they put the wrong file out there. So,
sure.
You know, to that point, is you really want to think about who's going to be responsible for that, you know, process of selecting the files that get put on the portal and just managing what gets published to the portal. And so you got to decide. It's, you know, the easy solution would be to say, well, let's just let everybody decide for their clients what should be on the portal. We trust their judgment. But, you know, it's always good to have that second check and balance. And so you may want to, you know, seriously consider having a portal administrator. And that's not an IT function necessarily. It's really just more of a firm administration or your administrative group, the same people who typically would be responsible for assembling tax returns for delivery. And, you know, establish that responsibility as the portal administrator, and their responsibility would be to monitor, you know, what. So for the clients, I want to maybe produce a report once a week or once a month, and just show me what files are available currently for every client out there, and that's a good thing to look for. Again, is part of the functionality is, do I have a way to easily get a list of everything that I have published to the portal by client?
As I've looked at some of these solutions, John, we use File Cabinet CS right now in our practice, and we push Altoot Thompson's portals. And, I mean, it works great, and it's a great solution, but as you ramp up and get more and more people that you're pushing things out to their portals, that gets to be quite a challenge just to manage what's going and, you know, are you checking the right boxes? Because it's like you said, we're pushing documents out to a portal. I mean, ideally, I mean, I think in my world, an ideal situation would be more where the documents may already be in a DMS system that's on the web, and I'm just unlocking them as opposed to pushing them. But can you talk to us just a little bit about the difference between pushing something out and something that's already out there, and you're just kind of opening it up to clients, if that makes sense?
Yeah, definitely. There's you know, a couple examples where you have the document management, the documents already stored on the web would be GoFileRoom has that. I guess File Cabinet would have that if you're using the virtual client where it's web hosted, and CCH now has that with their ASP version of ProFX documents. So in that sense, they're hosting the database of documents, so they're already out there, as you say, and those systems can make it very simple for you, like, you know, just to identify this particular document, the 2008 tax return. I want to publish that to the portal, so I just put a check next to it, and the technology is already there. The infrastructure is already there, so it immediately makes that document available. Now, there is one piece, of course, that has to be dealt with, and that is to set up the client login account or the client account for the portal. And so somewhere along the way, somebody's going to have to go in and establish that ABC company needs to have a portal account, so we have to give them a login ID and a password. And once that's done, then, you know, when you identify that you want a document published to the portal, it is literally one click of the mouse. Whereas in other systems, if you have an internal document management system where you've installed it on an on-premise type of solution, and then you want to use a portal tool, let's say like ShareFile, which is a nice little tool for exchanging documents. I don't know, it's a portal, but it's a unique kind of flavor of a portal. But you could then take the document from your internal document management system, and you'd have to go through an uploading process to put it up on their portal. Some people prefer that from the perspective that it just that model forces you to have that second check and balance, because somebody literally has to go through the process of browsing and uploading the file to the external portal. But that wouldn't necessarily be my first choice, but I can see where people would like that approach, because it does require a little bit, you know, another set of eyes to the whole process. So that's a big difference, but we really, you know, it's all about efficiency, and so to the extent that that conversion or publishing the document to the portal can be kept as seamless as possible, yet have the internal checks and balances put into place, that's going to be the best way to go about it, in my opinion.
One of the things we mentioned in our title was, you know, just this whole idea of managing users and security. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I know that's become sort of a big deal as we've ended up with a lot of portals out there.
Yeah, and really, if you start at kind of at the core of the document management system, this is an area where most of the products, we just published the document management system review in the magazine this month, and, you know, I would say that if not every one of the products in there, just about everyone had, you know, pretty strong user security functionality. And the way a lot of them approach user security is you, of course, set up a user. You can maybe put them into a group to just make it a little more streamlined. Say, we have a group called partners, so everybody in the firm who's a partner belongs in that group. And then we can assign security permissions to that group. And so one of the security permissions could very well be, do we want to allow this individual to be able to post or publish to the portal? So that's one of your first ways you can kind of control, so you don't have just anybody and everybody to out there putting documents to the portal. You could really narrow it down to the security. And then on the client side of it, usually the better approach for the portal account is to literally set it up as a different type of account as opposed to an internal user of the system. So you'd have a separate functionality that, okay, if I'm setting up a portal user, then this is all they can do. They can go to whatever documents we've specifically cataloged under their account and that we've also identified we want to be available on the portal. Some of the document management vendors take a different approach, and it's kind of like the, I would call it the lazy approach maybe, as to what they'll do is they'll say, well, we have a portal because our DMS system can be accessed remotely, and therefore you can just set up a different user for each of your clients. So you just kind of, in that regard, what they're saying is it's really not a separate portal application. It's just giving clients a limited login to your DMS system. That I see a lot of concerns with that from my perspective, because you really have to be on top of managing your security, because potentially you could give the client complete access to the to their whole set of the
DMS,
But that is
so. Are you seeing firms having any? How are they handling this whole? Let's say that you have 1,000 portals. Now all of a sudden, you may have 1,000 users out there in a firm. How are you seeing firms handling just the management of, you know, setting those up and giving people rights and them forgetting their passwords and all the things that go along with managing user logins?
Yeah, I'd say the primary approach to this point has been that it's been a function of the IT group, whoever the IT group may be, to get the accounts set up. And then it's probably more typical where they're relying on the individual professional staff members to decide, you know, what the content should be that's published out there. I think it's an area that, you know, needs more attention in a lot of firms, because they're kind of feeling their way around it. And you know, I'm sure I haven't heard any direct horror stories, but there's probably some out there where the wrong document got posted to the wrong client. But
you know,
right now I'd say it's pretty much the professional staff is managing the content, and then they're leaving it to the IT staff. And when I say staff, it could just be one person who is responsible for setting up all the client logins for the portal.
That's kind of the method we went down. I mean, we're only a firm of 10. But, you know, we finally designated one person to kind of manage making sure people got set up appropriately. And then that same person, since we're pushing documents from our DMS, which is, you know, on-site, out the portals, that same person is managing that process of pushing stuff out there. Also managing the users. I mean, for instance, if you have – in some of these models, you're paying per portal. in some of these solutions.
Right.
And so one of the things you got to pay attention to is, you know, clients that come and go or aren't using their portals or what have you. So in a pay-as-you-go model, you know, you want to kind of monitor that as well. So you need somebody paying attention to those things.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. And many of the programs will allow you to generate a report to show what activity the client has had with the documents. Whether, you know, so if you posted their PDF of their 2008 tax return out there in April, and here we are at the beginning of July, and you look and you see they haven't even opened it up yet or viewed it, you know, then you can do some follow-up to say, hey, first of all, you know, Mr. Client, are you aware that the portal's there? We want to remind you. And I think, Darren, I think it's a great opportunity for firms, especially maybe to the extent there is some slower time in the season or in the year, to use this, like right now, to go back and say, you know, contact the client. Want to make sure you're aware we have your documents in the portal. We're more than happy to do a little go-to-meeting session and we'll just walk you through how to use it because we think it's a great way to save you, you know, the hassle of having to deal with a bunch of paper. And when we keep it on our portal for you, you've got a secure backup copy, and we have our disaster recovery plan, so you're protected, and you don't have to worry about your office or your home burning down. We're going to have the copies. You know, you can really play it to an advantage as a client service, and so I would suggest to firms they really think about that, and then of course there's the whole initiative of everybody's thinking green these days, and so you could really play into that in terms of, you know, we're doing our part to go green, and there's no sense printing out a 55-page tax return if all you're going to do is take it and put it in your drawer in your office. Let's just keep it on the secure portal. So definitely some opportunities from a marketing perspective there.
I think it's a great idea because it gives you an opportunity just to connect with your clients and also tell them that you're staying ahead of the game and trying to create better client service for them. So as we go back and kind of just look at what we've talked about so far, you know, we were talking about integrating your DMS with your client portal and, you know, and how to publish these documents. So we talked really about maybe three different models from what I could tell. One is where the document is originally sits on the web and we just unlock it. So you mentioned kind of a Go file room or a CZH's product as well, or maybe an interwoven fits into that category. Another one might be like File Cabinet CS, where that's your document management system that's on site that you then push documents out to portals that are integrated, which makes that very easy to do as well. And then the third may be the Share File and the Leak File type products, where you're really pushing documents from not really a DMS system, but more individually to these different products. Is that kind of the landscape we're looking at?
Yeah, I think that you characterized it pretty well there. And we'd be remiss if we didn't, you know, talk a little bit about the whole SharePoint model for those who are really, you know, pretty excited about everything that Microsoft does. What Microsoft is really doing is, you know, SharePoint, for those who aren't familiar with it, is I personally think of it more of as a development platform, but it's a document content management system. And my understanding is that eventually Microsoft is going to have SharePoint replace Windows Explorer as the file management system for Windows. But today their emphasis is really on using that as a document management storage system. And if you are familiar with Office 2007, they now have the functionality when you go to the file save functions, you can save the document or publish it directly to the SharePoint server. And so that's another example where it could be an on-premise SharePoint server, or you could have a hosted SharePoint server. And so that would achieve, you know, either approach depending on what you wanted to do. But that's, you know, I think we're going to see more and more activity along those lines. I just would caution the practitioners, because I know we have a lot of folks who are from smaller firms in here that listen to these podcasts, and you got to be a little bit careful when you get into a tool like SharePoint, only from the perspective that somebody has to develop the application. You know, you kind of have to. It's a core document management system that can also provide the portal capability, but you have to do a little bit more. It's a little more of an open system. It's kind of like I always like to use analogies, be kind of like building an accounting system in Excel. I mean, people have done that, but it wouldn't be the first choice. You know, you're better off to look at some of the structured systems that are already out of the box, ready to go.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, because I often get asked that question, you know, what about SharePoint? And I think that's a good analogy of sort of building an accounting system from Excel. Unless you have those skills, it's maybe better to look at some of the canned packages or out of the box packages.
Yeah, so, and I fully suspect we'll see some third party products where they'll take they'll provide solutions that are pre-configured with SharePoint. That's probably where that market will end up.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about benefits to you and to your clients. What do you see those to be?
Well, I think just the whole issue of not having to deal with paper. What I find is it's interesting, Darren, I've been really active in this whole document management paperless model, particularly, since the start of the decade. And one of the things I've come to the conclusion, and it happened to me, somewhere along the way, is everybody gets to a point where they go from really being a little bit concerned about having to give up paper, and then, it's like one day they say, I get it now. I don't want paper anymore. So don't send me this paper, because if you send me the tax return in a paper format, then I'm just going to scan it in on my end. And why should I do that work when you've already have it CPA as electronic? Just give it to me electronically.
Yeah.
And so I think it's for the CPA firm, the benefits are pretty significant. It's a great way to make the whole dissemination process much more efficient. You can make it much more structured, and you can have greater controls, because you can secure the distribution, and you can follow the trail of where that document went and who has access to it. And so there's just the opportunity to have better control over the documents and minimize the amount of paper printing and stamping, and postage keeps getting more and more expensive. And,
yeah.
And then for the clients, I'll go back to just having that kind of peace of mind to know that, first of all, I have the convenience to just log in wherever I'm at. So if I live in Michigan in the winter or in the summer and get out in the winter and go down to Florida, I can just log in and I can get access to my documents, whether it's my tax return or and also looking to help get other documents for the client into the system, maybe the copies of their insurance policies, maybe any contracts, wills, things like that. You can give them that peace of mind that we as your CPA firm are looking out for all of your personal information, and so let us put it up on the portal for you. And then, so the other advantage to the client is it's a security thing, too. They don't have to worry about somebody, breaking into their home or to their office and getting access to those documents. Presumably go with a good portal solution that has good, strong security. It's interesting, Darren, there was a company that just was reading in Crain's Detroit Business Magazine a few weeks ago. They started, it was actually an estate planning company, a firm. But they came out and they announced this new portal they're offering. So I went out and checked it out. It's called, I think they actually call it Peace of Mind. And, it just walks through. It never really indicates that they're an estate planning company, but it's all about just, they have a nice video. It's about a five-minute video, and it's just showing typically like more senior citizen folks and talking about how, they have peace of mind knowing all their important documents are up to this portal, and in the event something happens to them, their children will know to just log in, and they can get access to everything right there. And they actually have it set up where you sign up, and I don't know if it's $30, $40, $50 a year, and so they're making they've developed it as a profit model, presumably based on the numbers they're using, and people are signing up for it. They just go to the website, they watch the video, and then the next thing they know, they go through the process and they can actually load up their own documents if they want, or they can send it into the firm and they'll load them up for them. They'll scan them in. So that's an example.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. It's peace of mind, so you can go out to their website if you want to look at it. I think that's exactly what
I'm sitting here thinking, boy, it'd be, if I have administrative staff with some time over the summer, boy, it'd be nice to call each client and say, hey, we have this service where, if you'll bring, these documents in, your will or what have you, especially our elderly clients, and we'll scan those in for you, put them on a portal. That way, if your children need access or whatever at some point, we have them.
Yeah.
It'd just be a great added service. I had this, we're talking about the benefits of to you and your clients. I was doing a presentation this week down for the Kentucky CPA Society. And I was talking about portals, and one of the gentlemen there asked, it seems like there's no personal service anymore if I provide everything in a portal. And, I thought about that for a minute, and I thought, my response was, you know, if I was looking at a bank, two different banks, and the one bank said, you know, we just really want to have personal service. I'm not going to give you your stuff online. We're not going to give you ATMs. There's just no convenient things we're going to give you because we want you to come in so we can say hi to you. Versus, let's say, Chase.com, where I can do about anything I want online and have ATMs all over the place. You know, it's more about a convenience factor for me and less about seeing a friendly face. Now, I don't know if that's universal or not, but I want access to things when I want them, and I don't want to keep paper. And, you know, I don't think that's generational anymore. What's your thought on that?
I would agree with that, that there's just more and more people overall are just getting a lot more comfortable with computers and getting, you know, a lot better screen technology. You go into a lot of homes now, they'll have dual monitors on their home computer even. And so, yeah, it's not as generational nearly as much as it used to be, that's for sure.
Sure. So what you're saying, there's tons of benefits to the firm, for sure, and also to our clients. And when we show our clients that we're being progressive and trying to think of ways to help them even more. So I think those are great things.
And there's, you know, there's always a percentage of your clients that really aren't ready for it or have no interest, but you can't let that be your excuse for not doing it, because whatever percentage that is, you have a growing percentage at the other end who are expecting it. And, you know, your Chase Bank example is versus forcing you to come in is a perfect illustration of that, because it is convenience. And the other part of it is that it's all about, you know, making things more efficient so that you can spend more time to have really personal relationships with your clients in terms of sitting down and say, let's go over last quarter's financials and see, you know, maybe there's some thoughts we can share with you about how to help you improve your cash flow or, you know, cut some costs out and things like that.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Well, John, we're out of time today. Hopefully we've covered this fairly well. Any other parting thoughts that you have on documents and portals?
No, I just appreciate the participants who join us for these podcasts. And, you know, any feedback you can send in to Darren or me or to the magazine of topics related to document management that you'd like us to talk about, I think that's always good to – I always like to know what people want to hear about, because then we can just focus on that and not talk about things that maybe you're not quite as interested in. So I'm always trying to encourage that.
And if people want to contact you, they can go to cpacrossings.com to get more information, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, cpacrossings.com. And I want to thank ADP again today for being our corporate sponsor, and also you, John, for taking time out this morning, July 3rd, to sit down and do this before your holiday weekend.
Well, my pleasure, Darren. Thank you.
Well, hope you have a great weekend, and I look forward to talking to you next month. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.